unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Or should I say good afternoon, everybody? I hope you enjoyed your day on this beautiful Wednesday that God has decided to bless us in. Go ahead and give him some praise right where you're at with me, guys. I've been in here praising him all morning. Sometimes you just got to praise him in advance for the things that he is doing in your life. And when the Spirit moves you, you just move. You just move. So let's go ahead and give him a quick praise right where you're sitting, right where you're standing, perhaps still laying in your bed on this beautiful Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We just bless your name right now, Father God. We thank you this morning for every breath that you breathe into our bodies on this day, for every listening ear, for every beating heart, for every moving limb, oh Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Father God, for showing up today, Father God, in our lives, oh Heavenly Father, directing our paths, making our crooked paths straight before your face, oh Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for moving around and about us, Father God, guiding our footsteps, oh Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy on this day, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, those that have ears, let them hear. We thank you this morning for the fellowship, oh Heavenly Father. We thank you this morning in advance for being our almighty Savior, Lord. We thank you for dying so long ago on that cross for us, Father God, covering our sins, our sickness, and our diseases, oh Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we know that you're able to do all things, Father God, as long as we keep our hands in your hands, oh Heavenly Father. We are blessed, Father God. We know that we are highly favored, Father God, on this day, Father God. Give us the strength and the endurance to go forth, Father God, and do your will in our lives. Amen, everybody. Amen. I tell you what, this morning, sometimes, you know, you get to meditating on God's word and he'll have some things that he want to say to you personally. That was my experience this morning, just letting him have his way in my life, you know, on today. I don't know what I would do without him being in my life. I don't want to know what I can do without him being in my life. You know, sometimes we go through our day and we think about everything else except for the love of Jesus Christ, how he bared himself, how he carried that cross and died for us. And that is our mission over here at 12th Street Talk Back with Morning Inspirations, is to keep you remembering what your Heavenly Father has done in your life for you. So we're going to do a quick recap. We talked about John chapter 10, verse 1 through 42. We're going to go on over to chapter 11. And I particularly love this passage that we're about to go into. We'll all be reading it for the first time together. I didn't read last night. I fell off to sleep. Hubby came in. We put a movie in, and I fell off to sleep. So I didn't get any reading done last night. So I'll be reading it with you, and then I will be referring to hopefully my Matthew Henry, if I can find it. Hopefully my Matthew Henry. Give me a minute. Yes. Gotta always have something available for the reading of God's word. Sometimes we stumble across stuff that we don't quite understand ourselves. And that's what these commentaries are for. They're to help us grow in our walk, help us grow in understanding God's word. So let's get into it. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary. Let me start over, guys. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrance oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, "Behold, he whom you loved is sick." I gotta get it right this morning. I'm getting tongue-tied, guys. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go up to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that, he said them, "Our friend Lazarus sleep." He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. But Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met with him. But Mary was still in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will arise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Mm-mm-mm. And whoever lives and believes in me shall not die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, went out and followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who were with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, the sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that this is expeditious for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation would perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. And they remained with his disciples, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think that will come to the feast? Do you think that he will come to the feast? Now, both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. And that was John chapter 11, verse 1 through 57. I'm always amazed at this particular story. When I first turned my life back over to Christ, I was reading this particular passage in my word, and I was sitting in the bed and I was reading it aloud. And once I got to this part, I had never sat down and read it by myself before. I've heard it read in church service. I've heard it taught. And when I read it by myself that particular day, I began to weep. I began to weep. And it was just like the Spirit had moved me, had come and moved into my spirit. It was like I was feeling that pain. I was feeling that compassion, that sympathy, because this is the first time that we heard of Jesus weeping. And the most thing that got me in particular is when they said he groaned in his spirit. And I don't know if you guys know about that groan, that groan when you're standing at the altar or in prayer about something and the Holy Spirit just starts to have his way in your life. You begin to shed a tear, maybe, possibly, or you just begin to call out to God, Jesus, 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 glory. And your spirit starts to move for whatever reason, for whatever thing that God is dealing with in your life at that moment. And that's how I felt. I didn't know that that's what was happening to me until I sat there in the bed and I began to weep. That thing just fell all over me reading this passage. It just fell. It fell like it's unexplainable how it fell. You had to be there to see it. And I just began to call out to him. And I do believe what we talked about in chapter 10. And I want to touch on that a little bit today. I want to go back to that. Because here, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go down to Judea again. He already knew that they was waiting to kill him, that they was plotting to kill him. He already knew that. But he went to see about his friend. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. And I paid particular interest to the fact that Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus was sleeping. But when we go on over to verse 41, John chapter 11, verse 41, it says to me, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I, in my spirit, as I'm reading that, we have to be particularly aware of when God hears us, when we pray, when we talk to him about certain things that's going on in our life. Not just asking for certain things, but paying particular attention to what he's doing in our lives for us, the things that we asked him for. And he says right there, Father, I thank you that you heard me. See, Jesus already knew, and that's what we need to do today. He already knew that his Father heard his cry. But the thing about us as people, the Gentiles, the Jews, all of us, that God calls us his sheep. Back in chapter 10, he said in his word back in chapter 10, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He also says that no one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. So he already knew. He already had a relationship with his Father. But he went on to say, if you back it up in chapter 10, verse 16, the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And remember early on, he told us, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. So Martha and Mary knew that Jesus saves. They knew. But how much did they believe? Because they kept saying, if you were here, Lazarus would still be here. And Jesus said to them, you know, he will rise again. And he wept. This is the first time that we hear about Jesus weeping for Lazarus, for anyone. But like I said, I paid particularly close, and it just moved on me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to say it the way you gave it to me to say in my spirit. I paid particular attention to when he said, and I know that you have heard me. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people, he says, because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. See, Jesus, he already knew that his Father had heard him. But he said, because of the people standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you had sent me. How many of us today are going to believe that our Father in Christ know and hear us when we cry out, when we pray, when we seek him, when we seek him with all our heart? All you got to do is try. And that's what I love about my relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, because I know when I cry out to him, he's able to do all things in my life. I have to be patient. I have to believe that he's going to do it. And you'll have people, places, and things come up against you to give you doubt, to put things in your ear, to say things to you that just ain't right. But as long as you have that rapport with your Heavenly Father, he heard you. He heard you the first time. As my seasoned aunt would say, you don't need to keep bothering God about the things that you asked him for. You ask him once, you believe him for it, you start thanking him for it. Thank him in advance for the things that he's already done in your life. Because if you're like me, he's done so much for me, I can't even imagine. I have to go back through my memory decks when I'm feeling sad or down. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just have your way today. I have to remember all the wonderful things that he's done for me when I am feeling low, when I am letting people walk into my life with the, maybe their different attitudes, maybe their problems, getting that bad energy, or trying to project something on you. You're already going through that tough time, because if you wasn't, you wouldn't have turned it over to Christ. But what we forget as the people, as his sheep, we forget to continue to praise him. And I'm not exempt from that, but I'm reminded because God has filled me with so much of his love. He has got my attention. He has got my attention, and he's filled me with so much of his love that he reminds me. He's deposited so much of his word across the tables of my heart. And he whispers, Victoria, you just got to believe. You got to believe. You got to stand on it. Know that I am there. That I am there. So in the midst of everything that you're going through, everything that you ask me for, whether it's healing, whether it's vice, whether it's insight, he remembers, he knows our name. But we forget sometimes as people, because we're fallible. We're all fallible. We forget about the wonderful things that God has done for us. And the best thing of all, if you're in this Bible study, is the fact that God saved you. He saved you. That's the wonderful thing. That's the best gift that you could ever receive. And right here, not only does Jesus ask his father, he says, thank you for hearing me. But he also said, for those who stand by. So now he wants God to let him show himself. Not because he's a show off like much of us do today. We want to be seen, heard. We want to be the show. But whatever you're doing for God, whatever you're believing God for, let him use you. Not to be first, not to be the show, but the fact that he breathes breath in your body every single day, that's the gift. And we oftentimes forget that. We forget that by his stripes, we are healed. We forget to pay attention that, okay, yesterday was a bad day. I got another day today. His grace and mercy covers a lot of us that don't even pay him any attention, that won't even say when you wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for breathing your breath in my body. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy, because I know that it's new every day. And then when we close our eyes, we won't even say, you know what, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins today. Forgive me for anything that I said, done, or thought that was unpleasing unto you. All he wants is the acknowledgement. See, Martha and Mary, they knew who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus and Lazarus and all of them were friends. But they still kind of accused. If you had been here, if you had been here, but here go Jesus again with his grace and his mercy, even though people are plotting to kill him. He said, for those who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. And with a loud voice, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know nobody else that can raise me from the dead but Jesus, but I do know somebody that can save me from myself because he's done it before. And nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you got to believe him. You got to talk to him. You got to walk with him. You got to ask him to come into your life and etch his words, his living water, his daily bread across the tables of your heart for you, not for anybody else. Establish that relationship with Christ for yourself. Get into his word. A lot of people out here will issue prophetic words, speak something over your life. Don't let everybody speak something over your life, because God will do it for himself. He don't need no help. Now, he does have shepherds, his priests, his ministers, his bishops. That's great. But he wants you to get to know him for yourself. That's why he has those shepherds in place to teach. And he gives you a discerning spirit. And I want to touch on that for a minute, because that's what it is. You know, if you're walking around in the world and you don't know Jesus for yourself, you'll say an intuition. But when you know Christ, it's called a discerning spirit. When you have invited the Holy Spirit in, that's your discerning spirit, because you'll hear a small, still voice say, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go that way. But you got to listen. You can't do it for a fashion or for a show to please men, to please woman. You got to do it from your heart. When you are serving the people, God's people, he said, I am the good shepherd. When you are serving his people, you do it from your heart. Just like what Jesus did here. He said, for those standing by, so that they may believe that you sent me. When God gives you a flock as a shepherd, and I'm not going to touch on anybody's names because we got so much going on in this world today. I don't follow everybody. I listen to your message. If you're going straight with your message and you coming straight from the word, then I'll entertain it. But I don't listen to everybody. Got so many platforms out here. So many platforms. So many people issuing prophetic words. Why don't we just come together and worship the King? Thank him for breathing his breath in our body. Why don't we just come together and study scripture? We don't live our life off of scripture, but scripture is the road. It's the key to having establishing a relationship with God. It's the key to being obedient. And that's one thing that we have to get right in our lives. We have got to be obedient. Be obedient. And it's not going to happen overnight. When I first started this walk, it didn't happen overnight. I still make mistakes. I still say things that God will chastise me for in a minute. And I love that correction. I love that correction simply because he knows my name. I am his child. So when my spirit starts to jump, he humbles me. He humbles me right there. You know that wasn't right. You know that wasn't right. And I don't hold things. We have got to get where we do not hold things against people. You are not hurting that person. They sleep at night. You're hurting yourself because you're not establishing that relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus don't hold things. His grace and mercy endures forever. He wants us to learn to have grace. He wants us to learn how to have faith. He wants us to learn to depend on him. That's what he wants from us. So holding grudges, being envious of someone else, jealous of someone else, it's not doing it for God's glory. It's not doing it for God's glory. And even right here, when Martha was the first one to come out to meet him, Mary was still in the house being comforted, it said, by other Jews. And when they told her that Jesus was there, then she went out and she saw him and she fell down on her feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, sometimes we got to wait on what God has for us. In the beginning, did it not say when he received the message, he waited a couple additional days? Sometimes we may have to wait quite a while for God to do the things that he wants to do in our life. But we got to be patient. We got to have that patience, and we got to wait in expectation. In expectation. And we can't look at what Susie Q is doing over here and John is doing over there. And God will let you know when your time is and when he's ready to use you. You can't just go working for God. Get into his word. Get to be his friend. Establish a relationship with him and then ask him, God, where do you need for me to do today? Where do you need me to go today? Sometimes it's just giving Leonard a helping hand, helping somebody, giving somebody a kind word to help them through the day. And he also told us in his word not to do things out of opposition. When I talk to people, I don't talk to people wearing the fact that I'm a Christian on my chest. I talk to people with love in my heart because that is what God gave to me. He told me not to give people, don't make them feel bad about what they're doing in their lives, but show, teach. He said, teach my people, feed my sheep. Teach them what love looks like. Teach them what following God looks like. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up today. And I get passionate about this because I'm looking at our people and my soul is crying out, God, what can I do for you today to help your people? And I have to ask him to fill me up. Sometimes I pour out so much, fill me up, and I get bothered by seeing other people hurt behind nonsense. Develop you a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And he will come along. He'll wrap his arms around you. He said in his word, back in Psalms 91, he who dwells in his secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I carry that with me every day because he is my fortress. He is my refuge. In God, I trust. He didn't tell us to trust in man. He told us he would clothe and feed us. He would guide our footsteps. But you got to have a relationship with him. You got to establish that relationship. Mary and Martha had a rapport. They had a rapport. And here go the chief priests gathering, counseling, saying, what should we do? Sometimes we as people need to just mind our own business and let other people do what they're doing. If God called them to something and it is sincere, he going to show up in that thing. If God called you to something, he going to show up in it. Your job is to stay steadfast in what you're asking. Continue to pray. If it doesn't come to pass, maybe it's not in his will. Maybe he got something else for you. I believe that he all the time has something better for me. I do. That's why I keep pushing. That's why I keep going live, whether I have a soul looking or whether it's me by myself. Because see, I'm feeding myself his daily bread. I'm just doing it in front of people. And sometimes I'm not doing it in front of people, but I got to keep pushing because this is what he placed on the inside of me. And not for fashion, not for a show, not to be seen a man, but for his glory. For his glory. He said in his word that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means you got to at least try. You can't depend on nobody else's prayer. It's great to have somebody pray for you. It is a wonderful thing. But you have got to establish that relationship with him for yourself. So as we go on Friday, we'll talk about chapter 12. And I always put my little spin on it. You know, for me, I like to say what God has done for me because I don't know anybody else's story. I don't know anybody else's journey. So we'll move on to chapter 12 on Friday and we'll read a little bit about that. I'll go back and I'll touch on from the commentary on chapter 11, what we just read. and we'll get the thoughts from the commentary. If you don't have one of those and you're new with Christ, go on out. Get your Matthew Henry. Go on out and get you. I just got the Tony Evans commentary. And what I like about that I found, it doesn't give as much detail as the Matthew Henry, but for a newbie like myself, it breaks down the word step by step. It has little QR codes in there where he's actually teaching it. And it just helps fill my spirit. Gives me a little bit of better understanding. And when I want to go deep into understanding verse by verse, I'll go over to my commentary and start making notes. But thank you guys for spending your time with me today. You could have been anywhere else. Let me give a few quick shots out. Shots out to Eric Vaughn. Thank you, brother, for joining the show. Shots out to hubby, Will. Thank you for joining the show. I got a couple more people up here. Shots out to Mr. Kim from Mr. Ken Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you, brother, for joining the show. I thank all of you for joining the Bible study, for supporting the channel. And I thank God, first and foremost, for just using me and developing me in his word. And I hope that I could do the best job that he's given me to do. And I hope this Bible study continues to bless someone. Pass it on, share, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11:30. We're here to serve the people. We're here to serve God. Blessings to you. Until next time.
This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.